All right, good morning, guys. Good to see y'all this morning. If you're in the back looking for a seat, there is room up here in the splash zone. And so if you want to come up here, these guys are ready for you. But come on in, find a seat. Welcome to Dad U. For those of you, this is your first time, and maybe I've not met you before. My name is Wes Butler. I'm the director of family ministry here at Watermark. And it's always fun to be in this room with a bunch of dads. I truly believe that there is not a dad on the planet that wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, I can't wait to be a horrible father today. I think we all have this aspiration and this drive to be great dads, and we need each other, don't we? We need each other's help to know how we can do that and be effective as fathers. And so I hope that this morning encourages you and helps you in that task. We're going to dive into a topic that all of us are dealing with right here, right now. And so I'm excited to talk about that. If you are here and you have not registered for this morning, will you do me a favor and pull out your phone right now? Speaking of technology, if you did not register for this morning, go ahead and pull out your phone and go to watermark.org/dadu, scroll down and register for this morning. We'll send out an email as we do every month with information and some resources. We've got a ton of resources that we're going to push your way on this topic afterwards. And so if you're not on, if you're not registered for this morning, you won't get that email, you won't get those resources. And we want to make sure that we get those to you. So go to watermark.org/dadu and go ahead and register for that. So this is our last dadu of the spring. We'll take a break for the summer, and we're planning on coming back here in September. And so if you're not signed up for our newsletter, make sure that you sign up for that. You can do that at the same link, watermark.org/dadu. That way you'll know when the next dadu is happening, and as well as just resources that we'll be pushing out there. So we also want to get your feedback. So here in a couple of weeks, we'll send you guys out an evaluation and kind of a survey. We want to hear from you and know how we can help you guys. What are the topics that you want to hear addressed at dadu maybe this next year? So be on the lookout for that. You'll get that if you're signed up for our newsletter. So make sure you do that. So this morning, you know, I've shared in the past that one of my goals and desires here in Dad U is to share some of my favorite men in the world with you. And so you've gotten to hear from Todd, and you've gotten to hear from Dean and Mac, as well as Kyle Thompson. And this morning you get to hear from me, not because I am one of my favorite people, but because the other part of what I hope to do with Dad U is just to share with you things that I, as a dad in the trenches with you, am wrestling with. And things that I'm learning and ways that I'm growing and being stretched as a dad. And so that really is the goal, and hopefully the tone of this morning is that we're all kind of in this together. We're all journeying together in this topic of technology. And so I just want to share with you some of the things that I've learned and some of the things I've been wrestling with, and then just some helpful kind of practical tips that I've learned from others, some of the guys in this room, and just through my own kind of experiments and failures and all that, that I hope will be beneficial to you in whatever stage you're in. So I know some of you guys are here and you've got kiddos with phones and they've got Chromebooks at school and all that, and others of you, your child is still in the womb, and we've got everything in between. And so, but this is a topic that is not going to go away. And so we want to know how we can, as dads, lead with courage and with purpose and with integrity in this area. And so that's the goal of this morning. So I'm going to pray for us. We'll watch a short little video, and then we're going to dive in. So, Father, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you that you are a perfect Father who makes no mistakes. And, Lord, it's no mistake that you've made us fathers. You've given us children. Lord, you've done that for your glory and for a reason, Lord. And we acknowledge that potentially a big part of the reason is just for our own growth and sanctification. But, God, you have also entrusted these lives to us so that we can steward them and shepherd them in a way that will push back the darkness and bring more light into this world. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning you would use the time that we share together towards that end, both here from the stage as well as at the tables, as we just talk about these things, as we wrestle through how we're doing. Father, I pray that we would not merely just kind of coast in this area, but that we would be men who lead with purpose and courage in a way that will be a blessing to our families and to this world. And so, Lord, thanks for these men. Thanks for their willingness to get up early and be with us and to tackle this topic. We pray for your guidance and spirit that you would speak to us. In Christ's name, amen. All right, watch this video.
Let's get together in harmony. Let's get together like family.
Hey, son, I'd like to show you how I prepare a ham.
Hey, Dad, I'm actually watching a video on how to prepare a ham right here. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Boys, no devices at the table.
It starts with her.
It starts with her.
It starts with him.
It starts with him.
And then add up.
And then add up.
And then add them.
But I do know this. I'm thankful for you guys. What do you say we go ahead and carve this turkey?
Oh my gosh, Luke Johnson's on live. His dad's cutting the turkey.
I just love his family.
Hey guys, it's been a great Thanksgiving. Let's just get a look at all the cousins hanging out, having fun. Guys, seriously, can we put the devices down?
Okay, everyone get together for the photo. Okay. One, two, three. Okay, got it.
Okay, hey, send that one to me.
Would you like to go get some chocolate pie with me?
I would love to.
Let's get together, all. What a sight, what a sight, what a sight, what a sight.
All right, so you know that scene, right? This is a Thanksgiving video that Rob Thomas and Igniter made this past year. But if we're real honest, it's kind of the experience that we all have almost every day of our lives, it seems like now. Where in the world that we're living in, you walk into a restaurant, one of the things that I've told my kids is just to pay attention when we walk into a restaurant and just look and see how many people have their phone out and they're looking down at a table sitting across from an actual other human being with flesh and blood and with eyes that need some attention and just see how many of us are just kind of focused on our phones or on a device. And just to, the reality is that if we are not purposeful in this area, if we don't set some intentions in our own heart, that we will just kind of get swept away in the avalanche that is technology. We'll just kind of go with the flow. You know, technology is one of those things that, as I talk with parents often, you know, one of the things that that I am surprised that I hear is that I hear parents go, well, you know, but all my kids' friends have, and then fill in the blank, a phone or a tablet or, you know, whatever it might be. And I remember, maybe I'm just an old fuddy-duddy, right? But I remember the days where I would look at my parents and say, well, hey, but they have, you know, or they get to, or they did, and my parents would respond with what? Well, hey, if your friends all went and jumped off a bridge, would you go with them? And yet it seems like we're not willing to have that same conversation as it relates to technology. That we are under this cultural pressure today to go, okay, hey kids, let me give you these devices because you're gonna need them somehow. And somehow our kids' needs have evolved over the years to where they have to have these things in their hands and on their person at all times. Otherwise, they're not safe or they're not connected or they're not capable of doing the things that they need to do or they're not as equipped as the rest of the world. And yet what happens is that technology begins to infiltrate every place in our lives. It begins to infiltrate every place in our lives. I read a book, which I'm going to refer to and unashamedly borrow a ton from this morning. You'll hear me refer to it a few times, but Andy Crouch, in his book, TechWise Family, which I will send you a link to because it is worth you buying and reading through for yourself. But his premise is just, hey, in the house that we grew up in and our house today, we tell our kids, we use that old adage, a place for everything and everything in its place. And technology is one of those things that if we don't put it in its place, then we're gonna stumble all over it the same way we would stumble over toys that are scattered across the living room or dirty laundry that's not put away or clothes that need to be folded and put up in the drawers. And we don't just wanna stumble through this life, that we as men, as believers in Christ especially, we wanna be purposeful in all that we do. We wanna see every moment as an opportunity to do discipleship. And so how are we discipling through this? So what I want us to do is just to acknowledge this, that I don't believe that we have a technology problem. I really believe we have a purpose problem. We don't have a technology problem, we have a purpose problem. We've forgotten what the purpose of the family is, or we've gotten so distracted by the onslaught of technology that we just kind of dump it into our lives and we forget that it has impacts, that it's changing us, that it's changing the way that we relate to each other. And so today what I want us to do is look and see what is technology, but then more than that, what is the purpose of the family? And how, if we focus on the purpose of the family, how then we figure out where technology fits into this. And so let me define technology for you. And again, I'm going to refer to Andy Crouch because he says it this way. He goes, look, technology, his definition, technology works and it's everywhere. Technology works and it's everywhere. And then he makes the argument that technology is not a tool. And here's what he means by that. When you think about a tool, right, you think about a saw or a hammer or a drill. And those tools are things that are put in a certain place and they are pulled out for a certain purpose at a certain time. Okay, so they don't go, nobody, I don't think anybody, does anybody have a drill on them right now? If so, we should probably call security, but hopefully you don't have a drill on you, right? You just don't have that right now. Why? Well, because that's for a specific purpose and a specific time and a specific place. And not only that, but if you come to my house, what you'll find is you'll walk around my house and go, hey, Wes, it seems like you could fix some of those things up. Why don't you? Well, it's because in order to operate certain tools, I have to have certain skills. Right? The tool doesn't just work for me. And if you know anything about me, I do not possess certain skills, a lot of them, as it relates to home repair and maintenance and car repair and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't taught that and no one walked me through that. But when you grab an iPhone and you hand it to a three-year-old, it just works, doesn't it? It doesn't take a whole lot of teaching and it doesn't take a whole lot of skill. Now, granted, some of you are better at Angry Birds than others, but it just doesn't take a whole lot of skill to operate a phone. It just works and it's everywhere and it's all there. And so as we refer to technology, we're talking about this thing that makes easy everywhere. It makes easy everywhere. It does the work for you. And the lie and the temptation that technology brings into the family is that technology then can replace you as a parent. And so instead of having to deal with a kiddo and maybe their temper tantrum because they're not getting what they want, we can hand them a phone or we can hand them a tablet and that will appease them, right? And I say that as a man who has done that on more occasions than I'd like to admit. But technology cannot replace you, Dad. Technology cannot replace you. You are irreplaceable. And so we have to get back to an understanding of what is the definition of family? What does it mean? What is my purpose as I lead my family? And so here's a working definition that I've been wrestling through. It's just this, that a family is a divine institution established and designed by God for the purpose of forming people to represent God's wisdom, character, and creativity in the world, and then to pass it on from generation to generation. You see, this family thing, this was not your idea. It's interesting when you go back and you look, you realize that Adam wasn't the one who went to God and said, hey God, it's not good for me to be alone. Right? What does it say? It says God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, and so he created a helper. And then God told Adam and Eve, hey, be fruitful and multiply. And so God established this thing. He created man in his likeness and in his image, and he created us to then be his representatives in the world. And so we are forming people to represent God to the world. And so we form people. Deuteronomy 6 goes on to tell us, hey, how do we want to form people? When God goes, hey, I'm not going to remain silent here. I want to show you the way to go. And so these things, first of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, Jesus says. It's the first and greatest commandment. And then teach these things diligently to your children. And so we have to be purposeful in the way that we form children to love God, to love God. And then to represent his wisdom. Deuteronomy 30 is this passage. We don't have time to read all these passages. And so I'm just giving you little snippets from it. But in Deuteronomy 30, we see God calling the people and saying, look, I have set before you today life and death. And he says, so choose life. Well, how do we do that? Well, we choose life and we teach our children to choose life as we help them to interpret the world around them. That's called wisdom. It's called wisdom. And technology cannot pass on wisdom to your children. They need you for that. They need you. And so we represent God's wisdom to the world. We are raising and forming people to represent God's character in the world, who God is. In Psalm 78, 5 through 8, it says that he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast and whose spirit was not faithful to God. In verse 4, right before this, we see the psalmist say that we want to not hide these things from our children, but reveal to them the glorious deeds of our God and the wonders that he has done. In other words, the character of who God is. And so we are raising our children to represent God's wisdom, to represent God's character, and then finally to represent God's creativity in this world. You see, God is a creator, and when he created man in his image, he created us to be, as J.R.R. Tolkien said, we are sub-creators in this world. We're sub-creators in this world. That's why there's so much life that is given to us when we create things, when we perform in our job the way that we are instructed to and that we know is right and good, and we come up with a new idea. Or when we do a simple project around the house that we just go, man, this is life-giving to me. We are sub-creators, and therefore we are representing the image of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 then brings the gospel into this when it says, hey, look, you are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. Therefore, let's be his ambassadors. Let's represent this creative work in the world. And how do we do that? We bring light into the world just as God brought light into the world. He spoke light into the world, and we get to speak the gospel of reconciliation into a dark world that needs the light of the gospel. And so we are raising and forming kids to represent God's wisdom, character, and creativity in this world. And so those three things, that really should help us to go, okay, if those were the three things that I'm aiming at as I'm raising my children, those are the big rocks. You've seen us maybe talk about that before. You put those big rocks into the jar, right? And then you can pour the sand on top of it. And so you go, okay, now that I've got these big rocks where I say, hey, I wanna help my kids to grow in wisdom and in the character of God and their creative being, now how does technology filter into all that? What place does it share alongside that? And so technology does deliver something, but it can't deliver those three things. And so we're gonna look at those three things real briefly and just talk about how what technology offers versus what God and the purpose of the family can offer. And so it's just these three things that technology delivers to us information, but it can't give us wisdom. So technology gives us information, not wisdom. Technology allows us to build a caricature or a reputation. It just does not allow us to build character. And technology allows us to be productive, which is a really good thing, but oftentimes it stifles creativity. We're gonna talk about that. So we're gonna take each one of those. So first of all, let's just talk about information versus wisdom. So our children and we today are just being inundated with information constantly. So every day there's 500 million tweets, 4 million hours of content uploaded to YouTube. Not consumed, uploaded. That means that someone shot a video and said, this is worth putting on the internet. 4.3 billion Facebook posts, 6 billion Google searches, 205 billion emails sent every day. We are not a society that is lacking for information. And in fact, we're the first generation of parents, whose kids don't have to come to us to ask who the 16th president of the United States is. They just go to Google. We're the first generation of parents whose kids literally could go online and learn how to build a deck on the front of your house, right here, right now. Just YouTube. They could figure it out. They don't need us for information. That information is flying at them constantly, and they constantly have access to it depending on what boundaries we set and what we allow them to get at. And that information is good and it can be helpful. But another book that I'll recommend to you and a resource I'll recommend to you is a book called A Practical Guide to Culture by John Stone Street. And Stone Street, if you ever listen to him on the Breakpoint podcast or anything like that, which I would also recommend, he has a phrase that he uses often where he says, look, ideas have consequences, bad ideas have victims. Ideas have consequences, but bad ideas have victims. And so constantly our kids are being inundated with information. They're being told what is true, what is right, what is good often. And yet, depending on what those ideas are, those ideas that have consequences may have really good consequences, or if they are bad ideas that are being generated to our children, those bad ideas have victims. And oftentimes our kids are the victims of that. In fact, if you look at the bad ideas in our culture and our society today, the two people who are hurt first and foremost by those bad ideas oftentimes are women and children. We've become a less chivalrous society where it's women and children go first as the victims, not as the ones who need to be rescued. And so information is constantly bombarding our kids and us with information, and yet what technology cannot offer to our kids is the wisdom to know, what in the world do I do with this information? See, kids are brilliant observers. They're just lousy interpreters. They don't know how to interpret the world around them. And so what was God's solution then for helping them to interpret the world around them? You are. You are. And we see this in Proverbs chapter 4, where Solomon writes, he says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me. And he said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you.'" And so your kids, they need you to be the ones who are saying, "Hey, come on, let's go find wisdom together." They need you to sit alongside of them as this information is coming in at them and help them to make sense of the world around them. Oftentimes we really are in a place almost of helplessness because of how all this information is coming to us. It does come to us through radio and through the television, as well as all the devices that we carry on our person. And our kids are going to school. Even if we are doing a good job of setting those boundaries, they're going off to school and sports teams and all that, where those kids, maybe their parents weren't quite as protective, and they hear about things there. And they need you, Dad, to know what's going on in their world, to know what's going on in the world around them, and to help them to make sense of the world. And so what would it look like if we as dads led with purpose in this area, and we led with wisdom? Well, the first thing we have to do here is we have to create an environment for asking questions. We have to create an environment for asking questions. So I'd ask you this, to consider, man, do my kids feel like I'm a safe place to come ask questions? Do they feel like they could come and ask me about anything? If not, then why not? What is it that I'm not doing that creates that safe environment? Well, part of it might be not deploying on the second part of here, which is just to be diligent that you are asking good questions. That you're asking questions about, hey, did you hear about the latest school shooting? Let's talk about that. Because you're gonna hear about it somewhere else, and I want to help you to make sense of the world around you. And let's talk about, what does God's word have to say about that? And so real practically, I would just tell you, when it comes to technology and the information that our kids are being inundated with, we ought to be asking that question, hey, what does God's word have to say about that? Wrestling with that with our kids at the dinner table or at bedtime, and just talking with them about these things. Stone Street has these three questions that he asks that I think are really helpful, where he says, hey, when your kids talk about something they've learned, ask them, what do you mean by that? Okay, because sometimes your kids are gonna ask a question and you're gonna answer something that they didn't ask, okay? So make sure that you know what they're asking about. What did you mean by that? How do you know that's true when someone says, hey, this is what I heard today? Well, how do you know that's true? And the third one is, and hey, what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? What are the implications if you believe this to be true? What are the implications of that bad idea? Who are the victims of that bad idea? And so real practically, here's what I would say is one, we as dads, we can do a better job of not just kind of letting our kids go off and explore the wild world of Google. But sometimes when our kids ask us questions, we go, I don't know the answer to that. Why don't we go and do that together? And we sit down at a computer together. We pull out our phone together and we look that up and we research it together so that we both can learn. Okay? Or if you know the answer and your kid goes, well, I don't believe you, and go, well, let's Google it together. Let's do it together. But oftentimes what technology does is it tries to isolate us, right? It gives us the ability to isolate from one another. And so we as dads can lead with purpose and help our kids to be wise by bringing that together and saying, hey, let's do this together, okay? And then also just even helping them to understand empathy in today's world. That's one of the victims, if you will, of our society today and of technology is that that we don't know how to empathize with one another because it's all done through a screen. I saw John Acuff tweet this morning and just talk about, man, would you ever walk up to someone on the street and say the things that you say to them on Twitter when you comment back? And the answer is probably not for a lot of the people that he was referring to. We would never do that. I don't know if you saw the end of the Oklahoma City, Utah Jazz game, but there was a fan who heckled, Russell Westbrook at the end of that game, and Westbrook actually responded. And that guy's reaction when he responded was like, wait, you responded like an actual person? And we forget in our information age and in our technology that there's another person on the other side of that. And so we've got to help our kids. So one of the ways that I do this is just walking through texts with my son. So he's the only one in my family so far that has a phone where he's texting. And I want to help him to interpret how he's interacting with his friends. And so we pull out his text string and we'll just sit together and go, hey, Josiah, let's just talk about this. What'd you mean by this when you said this? And most of the time it's really positive and it's really encouraging, but there's other times where I just go, hey, right here, I think you probably hurt someone's feelings. And you just didn't even know it because you're hiding behind the screen. So we have to help our kids to interpret the world around them, to be empathetic. And then there's other great resources that are out there that help us to give our kids good information. World Magazine is one of my favorites, and they actually have three other publications that go with it. They have, it's called God's Big World, that's for preschoolers, a little quarterly magazine that comes out for preschoolers. They have World Kids, they have World Teens, and these are just devices that help our kids get information with a biblical worldview. And so my kids, man, when those things hit our mailbox, they clamor for those things. It's only once a quarter, and they wish it was every month. And now my older son is starting to read World Magazine, which comes every other week, because it helps them to understand the world around them through a biblical worldview, world lens. And so we can also be men who help our kids get to information that is right and good and healthy for them. And so technology gives our kids information, but it can't give them wisdom. Your kids need you for that. The second thing here is that technology helps us to build a caricature, but it cannot give us character. John Wooden said, be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. The true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching. And technology right now is enabling us to build a reputation. It's enabling our children to build a reputation. And interestingly, right now, employers, one of the first things that they are doing is that they are going and they are looking and going, hey, do they have a Facebook account? Do they have a Twitter feed? Let's go and look. If you paid any attention to the draft last week, you saw that one of the top quarterbacks that was supposed to be drafted, that someone went back in his Twitter feed and found some racist comments that he had made years ago when he was a high school student. Years ago. And it hurt him. And he had to go, in front of everyone and explain, hey, this is what I meant. This is what was going on. I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have done that. But our kids literally have reputation building at their fingertips. And the things that you and I did 20 years ago or 30 years ago or whatever that only our parents knew about or only our neighbors knew about, now the whole world can know about because we're posting these things online. And yet what the research is showing us is that there is a deficit that is happening in our kids' lives of just happiness and joy when we introduce things like social media into their lives. And so there was an article that came out, which again, I'll send you the link to, by Jean Twenge called "Have Smartphones Destroyed a Generation?" And she just says this: teens who spend more time than average on screen activities are more likely to be unhappy. And those who spend more time than average on non-screen activities are more likely to be happy. There's not a single exception, she says. All screen activities are linked to less happiness, and all non-screen activities are linked to more happiness. You see, why is that though? Why is that? Why is it that kids who are on screens, well, it's because they are constantly in a reputation-building game. They're in a constant game of trying to build their reputation. Sherry Turtle, who interestingly wrote a book years ago, she's a professor at MIT, and she wrote a book years ago talking about all the promises of technology and what it was gonna afford us to do. And she's come back now in the last 5 years, and she's written pieces and done TED Talks where she talks about the dangers now of technology and how she was wrong about her optimism. You see, what she didn't factor in is what we as biblically minded Christians ought to always factor in, and that is the depravity of the human heart. See, she didn't factor in the fact that we are all sinners, that none of us is righteous, not even one of us, that none of us are seeking after God, that all of us have turned to our own ways. And Sherry Turtle says, we're designing technologies that will give us the illusion of companionship without the demands of friendship. That's what our technology is affording us. And social media is this. Social media is, as I mentioned earlier, that easy everywhere. Social media is the easy everywhere of reputation building. That when we hand our kids social media platforms and we say, hey, here, use this, they are now engaging in, they're now engaging in a reputation building. And not only that, but it's an unending popularity contest. It used to be that we went off to school, we get there around 9 o'clock or whatever, and 8 o'clock, and get home at 3 o'clock, and then you kind of got to get home and take a big deep breath, right? And go, whew, okay, I don't have to impress anybody anymore. And yet now what happens is our kids are constantly, they have a phone on them, they have Instagram, or they have Twitter, or they have Facebook or something, and they're looking and they're going, hey, did anybody like my stuff? You see, what happens is when we post something online, and this is for us as well, by the way, when we post something online and then when someone goes and likes it, guess what happens? Chemically in our bodies, there is a dopamine rush that hits us. We go, oh, somebody liked it. And it is a drug that is constantly going. And so social media is for our kids. It is like the patient at the hospital who's just had surgery and you've given them a button and said, hey, anytime it starts to hurt, just hit the button. And so kids are going and they're trying to hit that button. And they're trying to get that next dopamine rush. And they go, maybe if I post this. And what they're not doing is they're not revealing their real self. They're revealing what they want others to think. And we do it too. We do it too. In hopes that someone will approve of us, in hopes that someone will like us, in hopes that someone will say, hey, that was beautiful or that was good. And so we can allow technology just to build reputation for our kids, or we can lead our kids to build true character, to build true character. So Romans 5, 1 through 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. You see, instead of the numbing pain of that button, what we need to do is to press into our sufferings and even rejoice in our sufferings, and to teach our kids to do the same. To recognize that there is that it is worth it when we engage with an actual human being and we look them eye to eye, when we work through conflict with other human beings, when we confess our sins one to another and pray for one another that we might be healed. See, these are the things that the family is necessary for. The family is that place where we ought to be able to tell our kids, hey, come in as you are. We want to see you as you are. And then we want you to know that you are loved no matter what. No matter what, no Instagram filter, no Facebook like, we love you for who you are, and our kids need to see that. Andy Crouch says, in TechWise Family says two great things happen in families, at least families at their best. For one, we discover what fools we are. No matter how big your house is, it's not big enough to hide your foolishness from others. And yet a second amazing thing happens in families at their best. Our foolishness is seen and forgiven, and it's also seen and loved. And so how do we help our kids to build character in a world that just says, hey, just build your reputation? Well, a few things here. One is to diligently strive to create an environment and a relationship of secure love. This is one of the hardest things, I think, and one of the most important things for us to do as dads is, hey, do my kids feel like no matter what they've done, no matter where they've gone, that their daddy is always waiting on the front porch. Waiting on the front porch saying, hey, I love you and you are safe here. And so we have to diligently strive to create that environment. We have to model and demand Sabbath from our devices. We're gonna talk more about that here in just a minute. But we have to demand that. Our devices need to go away so that we can have face-to-face interaction with people. Our kids at school right now, my kids' junior high, phones are welcomed. And if you walk around the lunchroom at lunchtime, they're all doing this, and they're not engaging with one another. And my kids are going, Dad, I'm trying. And it is so hard. And what we're trying to do is to build kids who know how to interact with one another. Carefully consider the introduction of social media. Look, there are reasons that social media has limits. Those limits are not good. And you as a dad do not have to say yes, by the way. I want to free you up real quick that if you haven't said no to your children in a while, it's not a dirty word. It is a necessary word of a faithful dad who says no, not now, or no, wait. And so we need to carefully consider the introduction of social media. My kids don't have any social media platforms as of yet because I really don't know that their tender hearts are ready to handle the rush of dopamine that comes to them and to know what to do. I took my daughter on a road trip a few years ago and I gave her my phone and said, hey, why don't you make an Instagram story? And I let her build an Instagram story on my account just to share as we were going down to Waco for a football game. And so she just did it. And I'm telling you what I observed in my little, she was 11 at the time, my 11-year-old daughter, was just how quickly she got sucked into that. How she was constantly asking me, hey, who looked at it? Who liked it? Who commented on it? She wanted to know. She wanted to know everything about it. And I just watched her little heart and we had a great conversation. She's going, hey, talk to me about, what were you hoping there? What were you hoping? Well, I wanted them to like what I posted. I wanted them to think that was cute or funny. Well, why did you want that so bad? And we just had a good dialogue. We helped build character in that way. Use technology together and for a purpose rather than alone and aimlessly. Don't just allow technology to just be the thing that you brainlessly do on a Saturday morning or that you lead your kids to do. Have total access for total transparency. And this is such a crucial one, that you ought to know the password of all of your kids' devices, and it ought to be accessible to you at any and every time. That means that any time that I need my son's phone, he hands it to me right away. Right away. Because we don't want to hide anything. We don't want to have any secrets. And oh, by the way, what I tell my kids is, look, I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not doing myself. My wife has the exact same right to my phone at any time or to my computer. My accountability has the same right to say, hey, Wes, can I just look at your phone? See, that's called self-discipline. Your kids are building self-discipline. And you are the disciplinarian to help them in that. And so set rules and parameters. You'll see in your inbox, we're gonna send you a phone contract that several guys have used around here. Just go, hey kids, here's your phone. Yes, you're at an age where we think that you can have a phone. Now here's the contract. Here's the agreement that we have. This is how you can use it. And here's what happens if you use it poorly. And we have a contract and agreement. And we have that with my son. Why? Because I'm a parent. Because you're a dad. And we need to help our kids to maneuver in this world. You know, our kids, they're not allowed to download an app without permission. So you use Apple Family Sharing, right? And there are ways that you can set it up so that every time my son tries to download something from the app store, I get pinged with a notification saying, hey, Josiah wants a new app, and I have to say yes or no. We wrestled like madmen over Fortnite. Because he wanted it so bad, because everybody was playing it, and I've got to have this is the best thing ever. And eventually I let him have it, and I'm questioning that decision even today. I'm questioning it. And here's the great news. I can go back because I'm a dad. I can go back and say, hey, you know what, son, we're gonna take that off. But that's a dialogue that he and I have about, hey, what is this doing to your character? You're being distracted from your brother and your sisters and your mom because this is more important to you than people. And one of the axioms in our family has always been, hey, people over things, people over things, people over things. And technology lies to us and it flips that script. But we need to have total access. So are you willing to say no? And then also we have to protect our kids. Let's just be honest, we've got to protect our kids. And one of the ways that we can protect our kids, a device that's out there is called Circle with Disney. Again, I'll send you a link where you can go online. It is a device that helps you to set limits on the time that your kids can be on their devices, as well as what they can see and what they can't see. It is a helpful tool that is out there, and it goes right alongside of your Wi-Fi in your home and even links up. There's now Circle, I can't remember what it is right now, but there's an additional like $10 a month you can pay that no matter where your devices are, no matter what network they're on or whether they're just using the cell phone signal, you can still limit what they have access to or not. But my son's phone doesn't have Safari on it. He doesn't need Safari. It doesn't have YouTube on it. I took it off. He doesn't need YouTube. Those are just traps that are just waiting for him. And I want to be a faithful, protective dad in that way. Not overbearing, but wise. But wise. Quickly on to our third thing, productivity versus creativity. G.K. Chesterton says we are perishing for want of wonder, not for want of wonders. In other words, we're so busy putting our faces down. This wasn't Chesterton who thought this, but in our day and age, we're so busy putting our faces down and looking at that email or that other person's Instagram post that we forget just to look up and go, man, look at what God is doing in the world around me. Look at the people that are around me. And not only that, but our phones are literally like eating us up inside. And so there was research that was done. Again, I'll send you this. I won't send you this article because you have to pay for it. And I didn't want to make you pay for it. How's that? But a Wall Street Journal did an article called How Smartphones Hijack Our Minds. And they just put all this evidence together that says, look, there's mounting evidence that using a smartphone or even having one nearby makes it harder to concentrate. And it just goes on and on and on. And we think that we can multitask. And gosh, I can get all this stuff done. And the reality is that we are limited, finite creatures. We are not infinite in our capabilities. And so technology can help us to be more productive, but it cannot help us to concentrate and to be creative in the ways that God intended for us to be. We need boredom. Did you know that boredom wasn't even a word 200 years ago? Didn't even exist. In a world that should have, by our calculations, been full of boredom. They didn't have television. They didn't have smartphones. What did they do all day? Well, they weren't bored, apparently, because they didn't even have a word to say it. That word didn't even exist. Boredom is a good thing. It's called space. It's called margin. It's called rest. It's called Sabbath. And our kids need that so that we can be creative, so that we can create, so that we can push back the darkness and bring light into this world. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for our own creative good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, God has designed you and every one of your children to be creative in this world in a way that pushes back the darkness and that brings light and beauty into the world. And so how do we be productive? How do we set boundaries to help ourselves and our children be creative? One is just to model boundary setting in front of their kids. We live right across the street from a city park, and I was just driving by yesterday, and I watched as this mom was sitting on a swing next to her son. They're both swinging, and she's doing this. And her son's just over there having a blast. But she was missing a moment. She was missing a moment. And I've been guilty of it too. I don't want to miss those moments. And so do you have a place in your house where all the devices go? If not, that's one application of today. Hey, where do we put all of our devices so that when we walk in the door, they go over there and I'm not constantly at its beck and call and distracted by it? What boundaries have you set in your family? Look, guys, let me just tell you this, especially those of you with teenagers or going to have teenagers, there is not one good reason that your children should have their phones in their rooms by themselves and sleep with them at night. Not one. And I can point you to articles and research that shows what is happening to kids who are sleeping with their phones, where their sleep is being deprived, and where that addiction that they have for that dopamine rush is hitting them in the middle of the night, and they're pulling out their phones and they're starting to flip through Instagram or Twitter or whatever it might be and click on things that should not be seen by a 13 or 14-year-old. You would not hand your son a Playboy magazine and say, hey, stick this under your pillow and just please don't look at it. You wouldn't do that. But that's what we're doing with phones and with tablets oftentimes. We're saying, hey, stick this in your back pocket and just don't use it. Don't look at that thing. There's just not one good reason that your kids should have a phone in their room. And so we have a place in our house where all the phones go at night, mine included, because I am a guy who is prone. It's funny, last night, perfect illustration. Last night, I set my phone next to my bed, which I never do, because I just wanted a second alarm. I wanted to make sure I didn't sleep through this thing, okay? And so I set it by my bed. And guess what I did? I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I grabbed that phone. And I looked at it, and I saw one of our leaders say, hey, my kid's throwing up in the middle of the night, and I won't be there to lead my dad you table. And guess what? It took me forever to go back to sleep because it's there. It's that glowing rectangle. That glowing rectangle is just sitting there. And so we have to set boundaries for ourselves. We need to create environments that foster and reward creativity. And so for those of you with little kids in your home, man, that might just be, man, where's our art corner where we just kind of give kids art and construction paper and scissors and crayons and all this kind of stuff and just encourage them. Hey, you can do this without a screen, as opposed to having the center of your home be that television screen and Netflix, right? We want to strive for rest, not for leisure. Leisure is just the passive consumption, right? Leisure is what we do when we sit down in front of the TV and we turn on Netflix and we binge watch. That's leisure. And yet God created us for rest. And rest oftentimes looks like us getting out in the yard and throwing a ball with our kids. Looks like us getting on a trampoline and jumping up and down with them. It looks like us going on a walk with our spouse. It's more of an active rest. It is a rest from what we do on the everyday to give attention and time to other things. And then finally, we lead our family to all at the created over the produced. When was the last time you just got out and you just went and you saw God's creation? You just went and you look at what God has done. When was the last time you shared stories around your dinner table of people's lives who have been changed by the gospel of God? So, man, you'll never believe. You grab the Watermark News on a Sunday. It's easy. It's a layup for you, dads. Grab that Watermark News and just go, hey, you'll never believe what God did in this person's life. How he rescued Sonia Sampson or Jermaine Harrison, like we learned about this past weekend. You'll never believe. And those are moments for us to lead our kids to awe and wonder at who God is. We want to make disciples in a digital age. That is our job. We're making disciples. So how do we do that? Proverbs 24, 11 through 12 just says this. It says, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this. Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Guys, we are disciple makers, and we are called to protect our children, to protect our families, and it starts with us protecting ourselves. Hey, if your kids followed your example today in the way that you utilize technology, would you be proud? Would you be encouraged? Would you be glad that they did? If not, what are the things that you need to reset in the way that you think about technology in your own life so that your kids can follow you as you follow Christ? Follow your example in this thing. Dads, your kids need you to lead with purpose and with courage in this area, and not just to go with the flow, not just to go with the flow, but to go and say, man, I want to help to form people who are reflecting back to the world the wisdom, the character, and the creativity of our God. So let me pray that you would do that. Father, thank you for time this morning just to dive into this topic. God, thank you that you care, about how we use technology or how we don't. God, that you have not just left us here to kind of figure this whole thing out, but God, that you speak into our lives through your word and through your spirit and through your people. And so God, we thank you for a chance to reflect on these things this morning. I pray now as these guys get to sit around a table and continue the dialogue, Lord, that you would just awaken our hearts to ways that we can grow and lead better in this area. And God, just that we would recognize that your way is always best. And so we thank you, God, that you have set a purpose for us in leading our family. And I pray, Lord, that we would be more fully deployed today to carry out that purpose for your glory and for the good of our world. In the precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen.